On August 8, 2009, musicians, environmentalists, and one of Maine's comedy greats came together at the Rockport Opera House in a concert to protect and preserve Sears Island, a key wildlife haven and groundfish nursery for Penobscot Bay. First up, Robert Skoglin, the humble farmer, delivers Mainer wisdom to the assembled. Humble is followed by singers Susan Oliver, a fourth-generation Sears Island protector, and her son Gareth. Next, Penobscot Baywatch Ron Huber explains Sears Island's last 10,000 years in 10 minutes. The show closes with more music by Susan Oliver, composer of Feather and God's Wing.
To tell a lot of people what's going on with Sears Island. And as you may have noticed, especially by that last photo of Model T on the walkway out to Sears Island, those pictures are all from Sears Island's past and some of them on the stuff in Springs. But again, I want to thank people for showing up. It's a very sunny, fine weekend, and many a heart is pulled out to the sailing of the bay and so on, but there are many of us that care a lot about Penobscot Bay. And of course, here. So tonight we hope to amuse you and entertain you and do a little education as well. The humble farmer is here to deliver his verdict on things Maine. And then Susan Oliver will bring some extraordinary music. Get ready to. And then I'll come back with a quick run through Sears Island in the last 10,000 years. 1,000 years a minute. Don't worry, I've got it. And you'll enjoy that. So stick around for all that and let's go right to the humble farmer.
Thank you for coming. Usually when we have such a nice intimate audience as this, I invite you to come up on the stage and sit down in a circle. I am a believer in the cause. I have arranged things so that my farm, 80 acres running down to the salt water, will be put in conservation. There are developments on my south line, there are developments on the north side, there are developments over to the west. It is my hope that in 100 years, my farm down in St. George will be the equivalent of Central Park in New York City. Probably be the only place in Knox County where you can go to get mud and rash. My wife, Marcia, the almost perfect woman, looked me over before I came up here this evening. She said, "Well, you can't go up to Rockport. Dress like that, for heaven's sakes. Why must you always dress so shabby?" And I said, "Clothes don't amount to nothing." See, most of you fellows agree with me. I said, "It is the body underneath that counts." And she said, "Don't make it any worse than it already is." I hit this everywhere. I spoke to some nurses up in Belfast a long time ago. And because I don't really know what I'm going to do when I stand in front of a group, I was a little nervous. I just played with my necktie. Finally, I said, "I'm going to entertain you tonight as a male stripper." And one of them nasty old nurses said, "They couldn't have had much of a budget." I was up to the Common Ground Fair. I hear this everywhere. I was up to the Common Ground Fair. And I was talking with six or eight of my radio friends when we were joined by a young couple, 35, so years old. And the girl looked at me like this. And at last she said, "I have listened to that sexy voice on the radio for years. But I had no idea that you were such a..." And I said to her, "What do you do?" And the fellow with us said, "She doesn't have a job yet. They just let her out yesterday." I feel pretty good standing at night because I have lost 15 pounds. And I did it. Same way that you do. I have not had a cookie or a piece of pie or ice cream or anything else that makes life worth living for 5 years come September. And I'm as proud of this as any 73-year-old man can be. And one night up in our bedroom, just before I put my pajamas on, I walked down to the foot of the bed. My wife, Marcia, the almost perfect woman, was sitting up in bed reading a book. And I said, and I threw back my shoulders, and I sucked in my gut, and of course, it gave me the profile of a 55-year-old kid. And my wife dropped her book. And her mom came over. And she got this real excited look on her face. And she said, "Wow, I've got to trim your eyebrows." I married a widow. That's the coward's way out. I could never afford to have children. But now I have inherited 3 nice grandchildren. I can enjoy grandchildren without that guilt that you feel when you bring extra unneeded people into the world. And my wife was in the dining room playing cribbage with one of her beautiful daughters one day when I walked into the dining room. And I said, I'm going to hug the most beautiful woman in this room. Who do you think I hug? I hug my wife, yes. And I went back into the pantry and continued doing the dishes. And I came back into the dining room in about 5 minutes and I looked all around and I said, and now I am going to kiss the prettiest cheek in this room. And without even looking up from her cards, my wife leaned to one side and lifted it off the chair. I lived 7 houses from where I was born and brought up. You might know I live down St. George. How many of you still live in the same town where you were born? Oh. 2 or 3 of us here without no ambition. And when you are brought up in a rural area, you very often went to a one-room school. I went to a one-room school in the 6th grade. Say, how many of you are rural enough or old enough to have gone to a one-room school? You know what I'm talking about. In time, you got to the 6th grade, you had heard every lesson 6 times. And the teacher always taught the lesson to the slowest person there, which in my case happened to be my friend Winky. IQ, right down around tire pressure. And she said, "Winky, think carefully. You burn wood over your house. If wood costs $20 a car, and you give the man $80, how much wood do you give?" And Winky counted it up on his fingers. And he said, 3.5 car. And the teacher said, "Winky, that's not right." He says, "I know it's not right, but they all do it." You can believe that when Winky got married, his wife was just as numb as he was. They were doing the triathlon thing up in Camden, up by McGonagall Lake. You've probably been up to see it. And where they run and they ride their bicycles and they swim. And they had just finished doing women's breaststroke across mechanical plate, and Wiki's wife came in last. And she was crying on his shoulder. And I heard her sobbing in his ear. And she said, I don't want to complain, but I think some of those other girls were using their arms. We tried to get a job selling vacuum cleaners. You can imagine how lucky Winky would be when it comes to selling vacuum cleaners. He went down to Bremen on the first day he was in the business. And he went up this long dirt driveway to this farmhouse. And he knocked at the door. And the woman opened the door, and she see that it was a salesman, and she's trying to shut the door. But Winky knew a trick or two about that. And he got his foot in the door. And she says, I don't want one. And he says, please, you've got to see what I got here. And she says, no, no, go away. Winky took a little container out of his pocket filled with desiccated cow manure. He reached in through the door and he dumped it on the rock. And Winky said, if my vacuum cleaner won't suck up every single bit of that manure, I will eat what's left. And that woman said, I'm glad to hear that, because several men shut off my power this morning. Oh, you're nice. You're going to enjoy Susan, too. My wife works on Southern Island. It's a little island at the north of Tennant's Harbor. And every morning at 8 o'clock, she gets in a little boat on the dock at Tennant's Harbor, and she rides up the Southern Island. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she gets in a little boat on Southern Island, and she comes back to the dock in Tennant's Harbor. And one afternoon, they were approaching the dock in Tennant's Harbor. And they see this great wall of water. They hear this noise. And the water was flying. And when they get closer, they could see it was Winky. And he was in an outboard with a skiff with an outboard on it. And he had it very wide open. And he was going about 3 knots, and he was plowing up this wicked wall of water. And he and my wife come alongside in the boat and slapped it off, and Winky, he slapped it off. And she said, Winky, can I give you a hand with anything here? And Winky says, I guess you can't. He says, it's this new boat I just bought, and this new motor. He says, I can't get it to go over 3 knots wider. I'm going to take it back to the deal. And my wife said, well, it shouldn't be too much trouble. I see you still have it strapped to the trailer. And then there's my neighbor, Grant Wyatt, lives in a trailer on my south line. It was so nice having Grant Wyatt living next door all them years I was single, between the ages of 34 and 54, because I could say things to Grant Wyatt that I couldn't say to my own brother, who was closer to me in age. I went in there one day and I said, Grant, I have not had a shower for 15 years since I saw that movie sign. Remember? I didn't laugh at that woman in the shower. I said, ever since I saw that horrible movie, I can't bring myself to step into a shower stall. I can't bring myself to turn around and pull the curtain shut. I can't bring myself to even turn on them faucets. And Grandfather said, just thank your lucky stars they didn't nail her while she was sitting in your crib. He's always talking about the good old days. The good old days were so much better than the way things are now. Back in the good old days, neighbors would do things for their neighbors. You do something for me, I do something for you, and not a cent ever changed hands. I can remember one time seeing Del Smalley fix Aunt Ava's tomcat. Very simple. You simply stuff that tomcat's head and front feet down into an old boot, and you know, so he can't scratch it. And you've got to do it that way, because a tomcat will make a wicked fuss of nothing. And once you get him down in there, just a quick snip would do it. Well, I can't believe but what Aunt Ada was some old great. She says, oh, thank you, Dell. What do I owe you? And of course, Dell, he said, Peter, you don't owe me nothing. And she says, oh, thank you. I'll do the same for you someday. I went in to Grant Wiley's trailer last November. I said, I ain't sending out no Christmas cards this year. It's just getting too much. He says, saving on Christmas messages is really nothing new. You know that famous artist lives down Cushion, Andy Wyatt? He's been saving on Christmas messages for years. Well, every year since I was a little kid, Andy Wyatt has loaded a couple of dogs in his car, driven to Thomaston, and right by my house, on his way to Port Clyde, where he works in his father's old studio. And he's driving a gold-plated Stutz Bear hat with musical horns. So I don't think he can be much of a scrimper and a sailor, and I said so. Grandfather just closed his eyes, folded his arms across his chest, and leaned back in his rocking chair. He said it must have been 40 or 50 years ago that Andy Wyatt knocked at my back doors, raining wicked. He was soaked to the skin. It seems as Andy had been out driving around the back fields, back doors, like he still does, you know. See, he can't see some girl laying in a blueberry field he can paint. And he'd come across this soft spot in my field. Some great oversight. Well, Andy decided he could get along without a car for a day or so. So I gave him right up Thomaston, got to push him where he did. A couple days later, he came over. We hooked on to him with my old prop holding out. It was no problem. But Andy was grateful. Every year since then, he sent me a Christmas card. And I said, that don't sound to me like Andy's trying to save. He says, Andy's trying to save. Anybody else with his amount of money would buy me a nice Hallmark card. But all I get from him is these great huge things he paints himself. Hardest thing he ever had to do was apply for his Social Security benefits. One day he said to his wife, Gladys, today is the day. I am 65 years old. I'm going up to Rockville and apply for my Social Security benefits. And Gladys said, good luck, Miss Fox. Don't you remember when we was living down in Kent's Harbor? When our house burnt down, all our papers was in Father's old wooden box. We got no marriage license or birth certificates or nothing else. And there's no way on this green earth that them paper shufflers in Rockville will give you your Social Security benefits without documentation. And Grandpa said, I can get it. And Gladys said, you can't need it. And there was really no reason to what Gladys said. She was just one of them people that knew. No sense to it. How many of you live with someone who just knows? There ain't no sense to it. They just know. Gladys sat in the rocking chair just knowing. Grant, while I got his truck, went rocking. But when I don't leave, she hears him coming back. And her smile gets brought. She hears him coming up the steps into the trailer. And she can't even wait for him to get the screen door open before she hollers, nah, you didn't get it, did ya? And Grandpa says, yes, I did. And she says, I don't believe this. There ain't no way them paper shufflers in Rockville would give you your Social Security benefits without documentation. The heaven says, what did you do? And Grant Robbie says, I took off my shirt. And when they see them old gray hairs, they said, there is no question in anybody's mind here today but what you are 65 and deserving of your Social Security benefits. And Gladys said, why didn't you take off your pants and collect total disability? Thank you very much. Thank you very much.